Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine-Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Eye of Revelation, 1939 and 1946, editions combined. The True Five Tibetan Rites by Peter Kelder gathers two influential versions of a classic early 20th century body of writing about a simple daily practice often called the Five Tibetan Rites. Presented as a combined edition, it invites readers to compare how the material was framed across time, including differences in emphasis, added context, and the way the routine is described and justified. The book is commonly associated with claims about rejuvenation, energy, and vitality through a short sequence of movements paired with breathing, progressing gradually to higher repetitions. Kelder's narrative approach blends practical instruction with a travelogue-like mythos that has helped the rites become a lasting part of modern wellness culture. For readers interested in the history of the rites, the evolution of popular self-care, or an accessible movement habit that can be done without equipment, this combined edition offers a compact entry point while also raising thoughtful questions about tradition, interpretation, and responsible practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a mythic origin story and its role in motivation, a defining feature of Kelder's book is its storytelling frame. Rather than presenting the program as a neutral fitness manual, the rites are introduced through an adventure-like narrative of hidden knowledge and a promised transformation. This framing does two things at once. First, it builds motivation. Readers are drawn into a sense of discovery and possibility, which can make a daily routine feel meaningful instead of merely mechanical. Second, it positions the rites within an imagined lineage, suggesting that the practice carries a special authority beyond modern exercise trends. The combined 1939 and 1946 editions are useful because they let readers observe how that framing may shift in tone and detail, offering clues about how the author and publishers adapted the material for different audiences. For a contemporary reader, the practical takeaway is to treat the origin story as a motivational container rather than a verifiable historical record. The narrative can help create commitment, but the results still depend on consistent practice, sensible progression, and attention to one's body. Understanding the role of the story helps readers keep the best part of it, inspiration, while avoiding the common trap of taking extraordinary claims as guaranteed outcomes. Secondly, the Five Rites as a structured daily movement habit. At its core, the book popularizes a sequence of five exercises practiced daily with a gradual increase in repetitions. The rites are often described as simple, equipment-free movements that combine dynamic motion, posture changes, and coordinated breathing. This structure matters because it lowers barriers to entry. The routine is short, memorable, and repeatable, which supports habit formation. The book's stepwise approach, typically starting with a small number of repetitions and building up, also encourages sustainability for beginners. Readers can interpret the sequence as a hybrid of mobility work, light calisthenics, and breath-aware movement, with potential benefits similar to other daily routines. Improved joint range of motion, better body awareness, and a consistent baseline of activity. The combined edition context can help clarify how instructions are presented, including cues, warnings, or suggested pacing that may differ between versions. From a modern wellness perspective, the key is to focus on form and gradual progression rather than chasing a target number. Practiced with care, the rites can function as a daily reset that supports energy and mood. Practiced carelessly, fast or forced repetitions can strain the neck, back, or shoulders, so the routine works best as mindful movement rather than performance. Thirdly, breath, attention, and the promise of vitality. The enduring appeal of the Five Tibetan Rites is not only the movements but the promise that coordinated breathing and focused attention can influence vitality. Kelder's presentation often links breath and energy in a way that resonates with broader traditions of breathwork and meditative exercise. While the book uses a language of rejuvenation that can sound absolute, readers can translate the underlying idea into practical terms. Breathing patterns help regulate effort, maintain rhythm, and support calm concentration. When breath is coordinated with movement, it can reduce unnecessary tension and improve a sense of control, especially for people who are new to structured exercise. Attention is also central. The rites are meant to be performed deliberately, which turns a short routine into a daily check-in that can sharpen body awareness. This focus can make the practice feel restorative even when the movements are physically demanding. The 1939 and 1946 editions together underscore how the same routine can be framed as both physical training and a mind-body discipline. For today's reader, the balanced approach is to appreciate the vitality theme as a motivational and experiential outcome. Many people feel more awake and centered after consistent practice, but any claims of dramatic reversal of aging should be approached as aspirational rather than assured. Fourthly, progression, safety, and adaptation for real bodies. A major practical question with any daily regimen is how to scale it to different bodies, ages, and limitations. Kelder's program is usually presented with a simple progression model, increasing repetitions over time. That simplicity can be empowering, but it also requires judgment. Beginners may need to modify range of motion, slow the tempo, or reduce repetitions to protect joints and the lower back. People with dizziness, vestibular sensitivity, neck issues, or shoulder limitations may find certain movements challenging, especially those involving spinning, inversions, or repeated transitions from floor to standing. The value of the combined edition is that it encourages readers to compare instructions and notice whether later presentations, cautions, or more detailed descriptions, In modern terms, the safest way to practice is to treat the rights as a template. The goal is consistent, pain-free movement with steady breathing. If a right triggers sharp pain, numbness, or prolonged discomfort, it is sensible to modify or skip it and consult a qualified professional if needed. The program can be integrated with walking, gentle strength work, or mobility drills, creating a more complete routine. Adaptation does not weaken the practice. It makes it sustainable, which is what turns a short sequence into long-term benefits. Lastly, while the 1939 and 1946 versions matter to readers, many readers encounter the five Tibetan rites through later adaptations, summaries, or modernized programs. This combined edition stands out because it emphasizes the historical layering of the material. Having the 1939 and 1946 editions together allows readers to see the evolution of how the rites were presented, marketed, and explained. That matters because small differences in wording can affect interpretation, such as how strongly rejuvenation claims are stated, how instructions are sequenced, or how the recommended repetition scheme is emphasized. It also helps readers understand how a wellness idea becomes a cultural phenomenon, narrative framing, practical steps, and a promise of transformation combine into a powerful package. For a curious reader, the comparative angle adds depth. Instead of treating the rites as a timeless monolith, you can view them as a text that traveled through its era and audience expectations. This perspective encourages healthy skepticism without dismissing the practical value of the movements. It also helps readers make informed choices about how to practice and what to believe. In a marketplace full of derivative routines, a combined edition can serve as a reference point, grounding your understanding in early source material while leaving room for modern evidence-based adaptation. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who want a simple daily movement routine, are curious about the origins of the five Tibetan rites, or enjoy classic wellness literature that blends instruction with an engaging narrative. It can also appeal to people who prefer short, repeatable practices over complex fitness plans, since the rites can be done at home with no equipment and scaled gradually. The likely benefit to a reader's life is consistency. A small daily sequence can improve body awareness, mobility, and the feeling of being more energized and centered, especially when paired with calm breathing and mindful pacing. The combined 1939 and 1946 editions are worth buying compared to many modern versions because they highlight how the material has been presented over time, helping you separate the practical routine from the more dramatic promises that have accumulated around it. That context supports smarter practice choices and more realistic expectations. Rather than offering yet another trendy rewrite, this compilation functions as a foundational reference for anyone who wants to understand what the rites are, how they were popularized, and how to approach them responsibly. Readers who value both practical instruction and historical perspective will likely find it a more satisfying purchase than simplified summaries. If you would like to support Peter Kelder, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.